What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee? And he said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus said unto him, Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. A comment was made not long ago in our Wednesday night Bible study, men's Bible study, that it's interesting how many times Jesus heals a man of blindness in the four Gospels. Jesus, who himself is a light shining in the darkness, a light to lighten the Gentiles, Jesus, the light of the world, comes to a people who do not receive him, who prefer darkness, as St. John says. He comes to a world that could not comprehend him or would not. And Jesus, in the midst of teaching and preaching, in the midst of showing by example what the very image and likeness of God ought to look like, turns to people without ears to hear, without eyes to see, and touches the ears of the deaf, the tongues of the dumb, and so often, especially, the eyes of the blind. The reasons for that could be numerous. Perhaps there was an exceptional number of visually impaired people in the first century. You could predict malnutrition or any other number of ailments besides the fact that they're in the Middle East with no sunglasses all day long with the beating down sun, possibly. Or it could be that Jesus just felt especially compassionate to the blind. Or it could be that Jesus healed all kinds of people and the gospel writers tended to include the story of the healing of the blind. Or perhaps the truth is that Jesus, knowing that his ministry was going to be one of opening the spiritual eyes of the blind spiritually, wished very often for a powerful illustration to accompany his teaching and his preaching. And what more enlightening an act could there be for the ignorant or the resistant than to physically open the eyes of one who could not see, so that he could draw out a response from one like that, that sounds something like the one drawn from the man born blind, who said, One thing I know, once I was blind, but now I see. Sometimes the healing of a blind man in the Gospels is read over quite quickly, as if Jesus is opening people's eyes both physically and metaphorically. Perhaps this is an expression which we skip over quickly because we are looking for something more interesting, something like a parable of immeasurable depth, but the healing of a blind man. Perhaps also we tire of a particular expression we hear a lot of times in our culture, said by one who feels that they themselves know something that no one else knows, that others are refusing to see. Think of the countless examples of lyrics encouraging listeners to open your eyes. Activists of any cause relish the opportunity to urge people of their society to open your eyes. And what a lovely thought it is that I see something you don't. What better evidence that I breathe a different and better atmosphere than others than to believe that my soul sees things clearly while others are blind? To be sure, how many of the tensions pulling at our society are exacerbated by each side's belief that it's the other side that must open their eyes? Surely soon the atheists believe that the religious must open their eyes. More urgently, it is the religious who believe the atheists must open their eyes. The environmentalists, the economists, the conspiracy theorists plead, open your eyes, open your eyes. And perhaps in our own little camp in the Christian faith, the Roman Catholic believes that the Anglican must open his eyes. The Anglican believes that the Baptist must open his eyes. The Baptist believes that the Presbyterians must open their eyes. And the Presbyterians believe the Orthodox must open their eyes. And the Orthodox believe the Roman Catholics must open their eyes. And it comes all the way around in a circle. Perhaps we could use a return to the simple gospel account. Perhaps especially the gospel account that we've heard today. The story of a man who has no special story. No distinguishable background to repeat. No expression to defend. He was a certain blind man. That's it. And perhaps if we purely are honest about our own lives and the positions that we defend, we can admit that our names, not too long from now, will be forgotten too. And if anything of us is remembered, it will also be something like a certain man of South Carolina, a certain woman of Simpsonville. What was mentionable about this certain blind man was not his name, his reputation, his affiliation, but simply how he responded when he understood what was happening around him. He asked. They told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by. And that's when his voice was raised. He cried out the words that we repeat at the opening of each liturgy, as the church has for centuries. He cried out, "Jesus, thou Son of David, Kyrie eleison, have mercy upon me." And for anyone who resists the repetition of prayers, here was one that was not vainly repeated. He cried out again, "Jesus, thou Son of David, Kyrie eleison, have mercy upon me." Jesus asked, "What would you have me to do for you?" And as if to say, "Kyrie eleison," one more time, perhaps now quieter that the Lord had drawn near, he said, "Kyrie, Lord, that I may receive my sight." We've spoken just briefly about the tiresomeness of other people preaching constantly that you should open your eyes to the thing that I so clearly see that you are so ignorant of. Consider this, the man's cry was the following, "Lord, open my own eyes, heal me of mine own blindness, help me see what I cannot see, help me know what I have not yet known." And when that request is made of our Lord, the man's sight is healed. And what can you suppose was the first thing that his eyes saw when he asked the Lord to open his eyes? The first thing he saw was the Lord himself. How's that for a vision? And how's that for a sight for sore eyes? The words of the Lord are these, "Receive thy sight, thy faith hath saved thee." And immediately he received his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, gave praise to God too. At the beginning of this passage of the gospel that we've read from today in chapter 18 of Luke, Jesus has something to tell to his disciples. He was going to tell them, going to open their eyes to a kind of Lent that was approaching for them. In fact, the first Lent. He spelled out for them what was about to happen in Holy Week, a Good Friday, a crucifixion, a Holy Saturday, a burial, and an Easter resurrection. Jesus said, speaking of the Son of Man, "He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." How's that for open your eyes? But St. Luke reveals their response, their blindness, in a threefold declaration of perfect visionlessness. "And they understood none of these things, and this saying was hid from them, neither knew they the things which were spoken." Threefold declaration. You could have said it once. He says it three times. They were not ready to see what Jesus would have them to see. They had not asked for a clearer vision. And when the words were said, they couldn't hear them. They couldn't speak them. They couldn't see. Just then, one nearby cried out, "Lord, that I may receive my sight." The disciples weren't asking for a vision. And when the truth was spoken, they couldn't see it. I think we're meant to notice that it's the man who asks to see who receives his sight. I think we're meant to hear this just now in the church calendar. Just now, before Lent begins. We're here in the last few days before this Ash Wednesday, and the church tells us of what is to come. Just as Jesus told the disciples what was coming. "He shall be delivered unto the Gentiles and shall be mocked and spitefully entreated and spitted on, and they shall scourge him and put him to death. And the third day he shall rise again." And the disciples couldn't hear it, couldn't understand it. And we often say something not too far from that. Yeah, I know. I know it's Lent, we eat pancakes, we do Ash Wednesday. Yeah, I know. The disciples didn't ask for clarity when they heard those words, and they received no clarity. But there was a blind man who knew that Christ was drawing near, asked for a vision, and received it. So that we don't miss what God has to show us this Lent and Eastertide, so that we would know together true joy in this parish on Easter Day, so that we can count ourselves as ones who have pleaded with the Lord to have mercy upon us, and to have been a people who pleaded with God to open not everyone else's eyes, but our own eyes, let us approach this season with the humility of a blind man who knows his need and is not afraid to call out and ask. The church tells us on this day, for now almost the 2,000th time, that the Passion is coming. Let us ask our Lord to see in a new way, so that upon that resurrection day, we may glorify God too, and joyfully as the blind man who was given sight, be filled with joy. Our Lord says, "What wilt thou that I shall do unto thee?" May we respond, "Lord, that I may receive my sight," to hear his benediction, "Receive thy sight. Thy faith hath saved thee." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.